Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. They've been together for 5 years, married. They came into the office of the pastor and they said, "Pastor, we just don't have the spark in our marriage. We just don't have the passion." We're actually thinking of something that we don't even want to talk about out loud. And so he said to the couple, the man and the woman, "What's going on? How do you treat each other? How are you? How have you been the last 5 years?" And she said, "Well, you know, I respect him, you know, as I think about the fourth commandment." And he says to her, "Well, I respect her as well. I hardly ever raise my voice. Things are okay." He says, "I've never hit her. I've never killed her," you know, which is the other commandment, the fifth. And she says, "And I've been faithful," the sixth commandment. She says, "I've never been unfaithful. I've never wandered away. I've never committed adultery." And he says, "And, you know, I've never stolen from her. We have one bank account. I haven't hid any money. I mean, I've followed all the rules." And she said, "Well, you know, if you think about the eighth commandment, I've never spoken behind his back. I've never gossiped." And he says, "You know, and I've never coveted anything that she has either." Outwardly, they were obeying the law. And then the pastor said, "It sounds like you need something, and that thing that you need is love. I think if we had to sum up the Old Testament lesson in Leviticus and also the gospel into one sentence," and I always love doing this because if you can summarize a sermon or a message in one sentence, you can take it with you. And that would be this: we have the law, but we need something more. And that something more is love. See, when Jesus sits on the mount and he shares the law with them, he says to them in Matthew chapter 5, "You have heard, you know the Ten Commandments. You shall not do this, you shall not do this, you shall not do any of these things. But I say to you." So what Jesus is doing is he's elevating the law. He's getting past just mere observance, outward ceremonies. And he's getting to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is love. It's not enough that a person doesn't commit adultery. If they have lust in their heart, they have broken the commandment. You don't have to really kill someone physically. All you have to do is have hate in your heart, and you're killing them. Jesus takes it to a different level. He elevates his message. "Moses taught this, but I'm teaching something even more important." Moses brought the law, but God, through Jesus, brings grace and he brings love. So what we really need is a change of heart, which is all about love. You have to realize this. This was a really radical message. I mean, imagine living in Jerusalem, and it's your land. It's what God promised you, but you have these Romans telling you what to do, dictating to you how things should be, and they're forcing everything upon the Jewish people. They would say to someone, "Listen, you, come over here in Galilee. This happened in Galilee. Carry my bags." And you as a Jewish person would have to carry the bag, the sword, whatever, the armor, for a mile. You were obligated to do what they told you. There was a lot of resistance between the Jewish people and the leaders, the Roman people. And Jesus says something it's crazy, but if you put yourself into that situation, you'd say, "Jesus, are you sure? Are you really sure about this? If someone forces me to go a mile, I can't curse him?" No, you got to go 2 miles. "You have heard what it says, eye for eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist evil." This is a radical message, not only for the Jews in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, but also for us. I remember when I was a small child in the 70s, and I went to skate. Really like it, but it stuck in my Sweet Revenge. Maybe you know the play, but it doesn't matter. But it was one of the songs in the play on Broadway, which was one of the longest running plays before Cats and the Phantom of the Opera. Sweet, Sweet Revenge. Why? Because people love that. You know, someone slaps you here, you want to slap them there. Someone knocks out a tooth, you want to knock out their tooth. Someone wants to poke out your eye, you want to poke out their eye. Why? Because it's natural. It's human. But as we heard what was read in the second reading, that's the wisdom of the world. That's the folly of the world. There's no end to that. I mean, you see what's going on in our world today, all over the world, with violence. People don't like decisions that are made, and what do? They smash windows. Like, what is that going to do? Really? You know, pray for your enemies. I was talking to the deacon last week. He said, you know, there's some people that don't like the leadership in our government, right? We were talking about, why don't we pray for them? We never even think of that. We never pray for people who are not like us. We always pray for people that we love, right? That's easy to do. It's easy to like people and to love people that we like because we're just like them. And I like you, you like me, we're all family. It's the person that rubs us the wrong way. It could be the president. It could be anybody. Could be anybody. We are to go the extra mile. We are to pray for them. We are to love them. And this is something we can't do on our own. Left on our own, we would want to retaliate. On our own, we would want to sing that song, Sweet, Sweet Revenge. But Jesus takes the law, he takes the commandments, and he raises them to a higher level, and he says, don't resist evil. Love your enemies. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who's my neighbor? Everyone. So this is not an easy message. It's a radical message, first of all. If you're taking notes, I see the kids are for confirmation. Number one, it's a radical message. Number two, it's a holy message. A holy message. God is holy. We hear it in the first reading, and we also hear it in the second reading. God is holy, therefore we are to be holy. Jesus says, if we are going to be children of the Father, we must behave like the Father. How is that? Well, he gives a great example. The sun rises and sets and gives rain on the evil and also the good. God does not say, I'm only going to give rain here and sun here, and He doesn't do that. His love is for all people. And hopefully, his love will melt hearts. A couple years ago, I went back to graduate school here in New York, and the professor said in front of the class, I'll never forget it because I have never, ever heard it before. He said, with God, there is no partiality. And he also went on to say, with God, there is no potentiality. And I said, wait a minute, what does that mean? Well, first of all, God loves everyone. I said, okay, I got that. But what do you mean with God, there is no potentiality? In 20 years, I never read that, never heard that. I raised my hand and said, what do you mean with God there's no potential or potentiality? He said, think about it. He says, as a Christian, it is your obligation to grow and to mature and to rise to your potential in Christ. That doesn't exist with God. I said, what do you mean? He said, God is perfect. God is whole. God doesn't have to do anything to become more holy. God doesn't have to do anything to become more perfect. I says, duh, never thought of that before. It's not like God has to improve, but we do. If we're going to follow, if we're going to take up our cross and follow him, we cannot stay the same. We must change. And it's not easy. It's not easy to change because we don't like to change. We resist change. But God is saying to change because it's in our best interest. God does not have potentiality. However, we do. And so God is saying to us through the gospel this morning, love thy enemy. Do not resist evil. Pray for those people that you don't agree with. Doesn't matter who they are. Family members, could be people in government, people that are sitting right to the left of you. Who knows who they are? I don't know. But nevertheless, this is what it means to follow Christ. So number one, Jesus' message was really radical. Number two, Jesus' message was holy. And lastly, Jesus' message is loving. Loving. Love means not causing any danger to thy neighbor. Scientists, experts tell us that when we have hate in our heart, when we have stress in our heart, when we have anxiety in our heart, when we have bitterness in our heart, when we have negativity in our heart, when we have revenge in our heart, it actually affects our heart. It does. That the amount of acid that goes into our bloodstream is terrible when we get angry. It actually shortens our life. You know, someone once said years ago, when you hate someone and want to get revenge on them, it's like drinking poison and hoping that they die. It doesn't make any sense. And so what Jesus is saying is not only radical, not only is it holy, but it's also good for us to have resentment, to have resistance, to have anger in our hearts towards whoever it is. It's not a good thing. It's not for them, and it's not for us. It's a loving thing to let go. It's a loving thing to pray the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses. Right? You know the rest. As we forgive those who trespass against us. So when Jesus was teaching this, he was thinking about all of us. Because having anger or resentment or hate in our heart is not a good thing for us at all. And lastly, love is the only thing that will change hearts. Years ago, I saw a demonstration where two people were standing fist to fist, facing each other, pushing in both directions. And of course, one person just moved out of the way and the person fell down. When we resist, we get nowhere. When we don't resist, people move towards us. And so what Jesus is saying is love is the only thing that's going to melt hearts, not resistance. You can't fight fire with fire. You're just going to get more fire. How do we know this? Look at what happens on Calvary. Jesus is taken to Calvary, nailed up on a cross between two thieves. This has to be the most unjust thing in the whole world. It has to be. When you think about things that go on in the world, if you read the news or you look at situations, you go, how can this be? And maybe you get angry. Maybe it boils your blood because of what's happening with the pipeline here or this there. But when you really think about what happened 2,000 years ago, it's the ultimate injustice. That mere mortal, sinful men and women would take the Son of God to a hill and crucify him, and he was innocent. Think about that. That's the biggest injustice. That God, in the form of Christ, would die on the cross, and he would not call down legions of angels and say, get me out of here, I've had enough. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, get me out of here, I had enough. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what he said. And he didn't say it in anger. He said it in love. And it wasn't just words. It was his actions. His words and his actions are one. Because it's only by love that hearts will be changed. It's love that covers a multitude of sins. It's not resistance. It's not revenge. It is only love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he calls us to love. This is not an easy message. Not even today in our circumstances in our life. Because why? Because number one, it's a radical message. It's a holy message. But it's a loving message. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.